5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff.
Or save America now, or regret it for the rest of your lives and our children and grandchildren's lives. That's where we are, folks. I believe that all of you phony journalists, propagandists, fake news checkers, you will be held accountable. This is sedition and it's a violation. And you knowingly and purposefully are deceiving the American people to our own demise. And you will be held accountable.
Yay! This is always a big day for me. I love learning from the one, the only, Mel K! Yay!
Yay! Got my American flag on. Exactly.
We are back. Oh, I'm so excited to have you back on the show. We got to be together this past weekend in Branson, Missouri at the Reawaken America event, which was amazing. Did you love Branson?
Oh, it was awesome. We had the best time. And again, always thank you, Flyover Conservatives. We have a great meet and greet every event. You guys knock it out of the park. I probably met 1,000 people, gave lots of hugs,
yes,
lots of cheering each other on. It is honestly, and we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop because what, nope, I said on stage is what I believe, which is red wave, Trump coming back. Doesn't matter. We are in a battle to save America. This is a war. We are winning battle after battle, but that doesn't mean there's not another one. We got to take a lesson from our founding fathers in the Revolutionary, yep, War. As I always say, go back and look at the 27 grievances in the Declaration of Independence. Somehow we are back in the same position because an oligarchy of billionaires and trillionaires and technocrats, right, honestly, working hand in hand,
yep,
with an international cabal of, and it's on their own website, so anyone can check it out, of globalist multinational corporations and bankers called the Public-Private Partnership has usurped our government on every level, local, county, state, and national. So we have a lot of work to do. So as much as we are very excited that we've had such success, mm-hmm, on the tour, so much success that they keep trying to paint it as something it's not, and yet people come and they come again. And I met somebody who's been at every one.
It's unbelievable. I know people were coming by our booth, and I talked to people, oh, I've been to 8 of them. I've been to 10 of them. I mean, I was blown away. And you know, one of the biggest things that I heard over and over again is how much they love the show that we do right here.
I love it too. It's my favorite show of the week.
Oh,
because, you know, we interview so many people, but when we get together, I get in touch with you guys and Colton, and I say, look, here's what we need to talk about this,
yep,
week to keep people focused, because there's so much information, so much coming from the propaganda machine that is our federal government that we are paying for. We are paying for to be propagandized.
Yep.
And I think our show is kind of the antidote to propaganda here.
That is for sure. Before we get started, I want to make sure everybody knows to go to themelkshow.com and make sure you register for the newsletter. That's very important. Mel's newsletter, I get it every week. And the information that you have in there, it is pertinent. It's so important. And it's so interesting. You lay it out perfect. And then your resources are fabulous. I actually have this on the tab at the top of my computer. When you go down, there are so many websites that back up everything that you share. You know, one of the conversations I had this weekend with people was, you know, anytime that you talk, Mel, you always know that this information that you're giving is accurate. People can text in and get the graphics from the show to actually back up everything that you're talking about. So when you text the phone number 40509, text the word Mel 40509. Everything that Mel's talking about is backed up in these graphics, and you can use them to help wake people up. You can put it on your social media. You can text it to people. I mean, she backs everything up. And if you don't have something to back it up, you'll say, in my opinion. And so I always feel so good when I'm on the show with you and learning, because I know everything that you're sharing is accurate. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of people doing, supposed intel or other things.
Yep.
There is so much that's provable. And I do, I really focus on the international, the global public-private partnership and the international cabal that I believe has usurped our country. Though I think, yep, our country is now being run by an oligarchy, as I tell everyone, and that both parties are just enablers for them and enforcers, unfortunately. I do try to say that a lot of what I say, you can find on these people, because this is why I give their names and their websites. You, yep, can find the information there. So, mm-hmm, when people say, or it's getting less and less because every conspiracy theory is coming true.
Right.
A conspiracy theory, of course, created by the architect of Obama's Ministry of Truth, Cass Sunstein, and the CIA, which we will watch a video in a second to tell you exactly how long this has been going on. It's actually been going on since the beginning of the FBI and CIA, but now it's worse than ever because of technology and the unavoidable and undeniable meshing of big tech and the United States government on every level, especially mm-hmm. our intelligence agencies, which is a big no-no. It's against the Constitution and our rights. And honestly, it should be against people's conscience, but we have a deeply embedded, honestly, you can call them what you want, deep state, senior executive service, people that have usurped all of our agencies. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for the good guys in the FBI right now and the DOJ,
yeah.
because frankly, all of them need to be totally investigated to the core. Also, the DHS, CISA, TSA, all of these agencies are unconstitutional. If brought yeah. in with good argument in front of the Supreme Court, with good justices deciding based on the Constitution alone, they would not be able to exist. And our biggest, I think, issues ahead are getting these agencies pared down and dismantled yep. and putting it back into a streamlined, transparent, open record situation where we, the people of the United States, are the inspectors. We are the oversight committee.
Yes.
This is how it was supposed to be. And I want to say before we start, no matter what, this whole lie about destroying democracy if you don't vote for the Democrats is insulting, and it's insulting to us, and it should be insulting to every American citizen and every citizen around the world. As I said at the event, the mainstream media and the propaganda and the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act that made it legal by Obama and them that we are paying for the tune of $700 million, which includes paying for the propaganda machines that are NPR, PBS, all this money that they gave mm-hmm. to all the networks through the COVID, billions of dollars, okay, our government mm-hmm. is given. They are also producing, directing, disseminating full-on phony fraudulent propaganda to keep their narratives and their wars and everything going. But the problem now is that it's becoming very dangerous for the people of the United States, we the people, because they are disseminating it worldwide. And right. what they're disseminating worldwide is that 100 million American citizens are domestic terrorists, white supremacists, the election deniers, all this nonsense. It's going worldwide and they're sending it worldwide. Okay. Voice of America, it should all be dismantled. We yep. shouldn't be paying for any of this. So very important going forward to realize we are winning a battle with our red wave and our announcement on the 15th and everything coming up, but we are in a war and the battle is really just getting started. Because right. now we actually have a chance. The last 2 years, we've been fighting with two hands behind our back and a lot of people saying things are debunked that never went in front of courts. Nothing for election integrity mm-hmm. or election or 2020 went in front of a court. They all got mm-hmm. rejected on technicalities because we have a judicial system that is totally corrupt and usurped. The federal is the worst. DC is the worst. So I'm right. hoping that we take some power back to the states. We talked about last week some of the lawsuits. Your AG, who's going to probably be a senator, and all these other people. But when Carrie Lake and some of the other people get in, DeSantis and others, I believe that the states will start pushing back and we will really get some forward motion with dismantling some of that swamp.
Amen. Man, this is so important. So this is the time we're supposed to be putting our foot on the pedal, not be sitting back, relaxing and being like, okay, everything's done.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like a lot of the talk has been like about November 8th. November 8th is the beginning mm-hmm. of giving us back some power. November 8th is the day that we say to the people, you know, here we are. We are going to straighten out some of this stuff. We're going to have mm-hmm. transparency. We're going to have real investigations. We're going to find out. First and foremost, I think the easiest way to go about draining the swamp at this point is to look at who made money off of COVID. Because we had a lot right. of people in Senate and Congress and the judiciary and the White House and NIH and CDC who made a fortune mm-hmm. off of COVID, be it insider yep. trading, by things, moves that they made, jobs that were transferred around. So, I think we really need a big audit of everyone in the government that was involved during these last 3 years and find out who made money and start there. There's a lot of financial crimes, I believe, that we can... because all these committees and all these investigations, they take time. It doesn't take that much time to prove that somebody made money off of COVID. That
right. That's and, exactly
so
right.
So I hope we do that. But I want everyone to be very aware. The other side is doubling down. And I really hope that our shows have shown everyone that the government of the United States of America has been usurped by an oligarchy of billionaires and trillionaires that are loyal to the one world government plans of the Davos International Banking public-private partnership. It's on all their own websites. You don't have to ask me. They're all going nuts because globalism is being rejected worldwide. We're watching it in countries all over the world. We have to keep the like you said, the foot on the gas there. But yeah. What is really happening is that there is a worldwide effort to shut down dissent, to shut down anyone questioning the globalists, anyone questioning the central bank digital currency and the one world banking cabal. Any so much pushback against the UN and the World Economic Forum's Agenda 2030, Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, this week COP27. Mm-hmm. All of this is about consolidating power into this 0.001% elitist class. They are global, but they run all of our governments and they run the Obama regime, everyone in there. They are fueling all of the wars. They are fueling all of the famines, all of the collapsing of our currencies, all for their own benefit. And we are now dealing with some very interesting stuff coming out, very dangerous for our country, very dangerous for the world, because the mainstream media, big tech, partnership with the World Economic Forum, the UN, and the Biden regime is the one spreading misinformation, disinformation, and propaganda worldwide. The rest of the world outside of the one world military is NATO and the Five Eyes nations is against us. Every propaganda piece saying that the world is for the war in Ukraine and the world is for the US and the world is for the central bank digital currency is false.
Yep.
The rest of the world is not. And the problem is that I believe, be it the CIA, National Endowment for Democracy, whoever spreads this this insidious color revolution, division and lies and hatred against the people like we got when the Russia invasion started. Whoever's pushing this is now pushing it against the people of the United States. And this is not a good road because the problem is every war in history was preceded by propaganda that turned other countries against the country that eventually was attacked or their sovereignty taken by a color revolution, but that was fomented by the bankers and billionaires that are running the one world, situation over through Davos and the UN. And right now it's being, it's purposely being sent to the world to attack we, the people of the United States, and they are turning on us. And I believe it's coming from the inside. So first and foremost, before I get into The Intercept, which everyone should go check it out, two guys broke a story that's really important for everyone to check out. Lee Fang and Ken Klippenstein broke a story about a new DHS CISA initiative that's coming. It is very dangerous for our country. And whatever they are saying, it's on the screen right now. It's DHS and CISA. They are undermining our country. We're in the middle of a color revolution. And they are turning the rest of the world against us, I believe, on purpose, so that the destruction of America that they have been facilitating, the controlled demolition of our country through 1,000 cuts in cahoots with the CCP, frankly, is going into full speed ahead. And they are going to do whatever they can to control the narrative. And we, the people, have to fight back. If you could play that clip from the CIA, Snowden put this out. Don't forget, he's the first one that came out and told us that they were doing mass surveillance on we the people. He has been in exile since, and most people know his story. He shared this, and the scary part is fast forward to today. So if you could share that clip real quick.
Frank, I think a good many of us have the impression that the CIA operates completely undercover, that you're all spooks, as they say, or they used to say out in the Pacific. Do you have a high profile, or do people know what you do for a living?
Surely. In Saigon, I had various covers. I was a State Department officer. I was a military officer at one time. But everybody I dealt with, agents, journalists, knew that I worked for the CIA. It is the agent who works under very deep cover, under unofficial cover, as a businessman, as a journalist. Now, he's the one who is not identifiable. and whom nobody else would identify with the agency.
What years were you there?
I got there in 1969, just as Vietnamization was getting underway, and I left with the last CIA contingent on the roof of the American Embassy when the North Vietnamese were moving on the city in 1975. I was there through the latter stages of the war.
Did you go out on that helicopter in the famous pictures we saw?
The CIA helicopter was the one that forms that famous photograph, but I wasn't on that one. Mm-hmm.
You briefed the press, did you not, when you were there?
Well, I had several jobs. One of my jobs was that of analyst. I also was an interrogator and indeed briefed the press when we, the CIA, wanted to circulate disinformation on a particular issue. Disinformation is not necessarily a lie. It may be a half-truth. And we would pick out a journalist. I would go do the briefing and hope that he would put the information in print.
What was your percentage of success?
We were pretty successful in planning information of a rather rarefied nature. For instance, if we wanted to get across to the American public that the North Vietnamese were building up their force structure in South Vietnam, I would go to a journalist and advise him that in the past 6 months, X number of North Vietnamese forces had come down the Ho Chi Minh Trail system through southern Laos. Now, there is no way a journalist can check that information. That's data derived from radio intercepts, spy in the sky photography. So either he goes with the information or he doesn't, and ordinarily or usually, the journalist would go with it because it looked like some kind of exclusive. And I would say our percentage planning that kind of data was...
Wow, Mel. Was that 1983?
Yeah. So as I've said from the beginning, the CIA, remember JFK said the CIA was rotten to the core. It was going to break it into 1,000 pieces. Now the FBI and the CIA work in cahoots. Peter Strzok was a member of both somehow. But we've been talking about the Mockingbird Media for a long time and Anderson Cooper, Vanderbilt, and others that had strong connections to the CIA. Many of them now that are still being used as all of that. But you understand he was using the word misinformation and disinformation.
Yep.
But we are told by the current regime and the current Council of Foreign Relations / global public-private partnership-owned, BlackRock-owned media that this is a new advent since MAGA. Disinformation and misinformation. Well, the CIA guy right there just told you no. That's what they do. And they've been doing it for a long time. And so we really have to pay attention to what's going on here. And understand that these agencies have been, we have been deceived to think that they're protecting us when the truth is they're protecting themselves and their overlords and the oligarchy that usurped our nation. They've always, the history of the CIA and FBI, I'm doing a show on it this week with Matt Arett, is really disturbing and needs to be out there. So this is a start. So these
man, can they find
guys,
that show, Mel, when they go to themelkshow.com? Will they be able to find it there or on the newsletter?
Yeah, well, it'll be on a Rumble this week.
Okay, on Rumble. Yeah. Okay.
Rumble, the Mel Kay Show. Please go over there and subscribe. We have amazing guests this week, one after another. It's going to be a great week
for
us.
Sweet. That's great.
Because I'm getting people from all over the world. Brazil, people involved in the affirmative action, people involved in Israel, just people all over the world. We need to know this. We are in a global war. People keep saying to me, when's something going to happen? And I keep saying, it's geopolitical. It's not going to happen until everything is happening at once. We had the head of the Rothschild family died this morning, which was another thing that kind of you woke up and thought, what is going on? So, and another one not that long ago. So there's a lot of things happening. The Queen. So a lot of things have happened that to disturb the international one world government structure that has been functioning in the dark shadows for all this time and are really running the world. So plenty is happening, but we have to keep, like I said, we have to keep focused on the battle at hand.
Right.
So right now the battle at hand is, okay, red wave, what next?
Mm-hmm.
First thing is CISA, DHS, NSA, all of them, unconstitutional groups that do not have power. They are running as if they do by executive order and their own dictates, where Congress is not voting on this stuff. Congress does not allow what is going on. Congress is supposed to be the overseer. We have checks and balances in our government. They keep babbling about democracy. Democracy is government by the people, for the people. The democracy that they are talking about consists of, when they go on TV, the Hollywood stars that are freaking out about Twitter. Nothing's changed on Twitter yet. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. You know, and we'll get into that in a minute. But so to them, when they say democracy is going to be destroyed, they mean the globalist controlled oligarchy that is running these politicians that claim democracy is going to be destroyed, including the Clintons and the Obamas and all of the journalists that work for the CIA and the FBI. And all of that. But what they are talking about is Los Angeles and Hollywood, Northern California, Silicon Valley, a small piece of Chicago, a small piece of the Northeast, which includes the Poison Ivy League, Manhattan, and some parts of New York, Washington, D.C., which is a vassal state not running by our laws or our Constitution, clearly, and some pieces of Florida. The rest of the world to them is not democracy. Because to them, democracy is majority rule. And since they own the Hollywood and they own the newspapers and they own the megaphone, they create the majority through tech, big tech. Yep. We're going to find out Twitter is a big cesspool of lies and bots and phony journalists with check marks who have no credentials, no history, and it just became something on Twitter. That's not how it works. That's not going to be how it works. And I believe that the journalists will be paying for this. And it's called sedition.
Amen.
And there's plenty of it going around, but let's really get into this. So this document came out from the DHS directly proving that the Biden regime has been colluding against the Constitution of the United States with, and our Bill of Rights, with social media on a major, major scale, including all of the media, actually. We talked about last week, the Judicial Watch drop of the COVID media control operation that was in cahoots with the Biden regime, CDC, NIH, again, against the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and illegal. So here we got the DHS puts out, they are broadening their efforts to curb speech, which it considers dangerous, okay? And in this document, it says the DHS is directly engaging with social media companies to flag MDM. MDM is misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, which that guy from the CIA just told you is the CIA's job, is to conflate that with at the time, journalists, now with big tech journalists. So they put out this document, and basically it goes on to say, and this document was put out for before the 2022 midterm, so recently put out, but for the 2024 midterm election. Okay. So what you have to understand, just like the Democracy Matters document we talked about a long time ago from Media Matters and the Transition Integrity Project from Eisen and Podesta and all of the stuff that came a year before the 2020 election rig, this is the new model. They are in power, so they are going to politicize and militarize information and the control of the narrative through CISA. CISA, it goes to say, where we want to go in 2022, ahead of the 2022 midterms, is it will be crucial to evaluate CISA's role in this space and ensure that the agency is providing additive value that fits within its unique capabilities and mission. Don't forget, CISA Krebs is the one that went on TV right after the election and said that the election of 2020 was the most secure election in history, that the machines did not hook up to the internet, that there was no fraud whatsoever. Meanwhile, the day before the 2022 midterms, Politico put out a whole piece, which is, I believe, exactly what that guy said. They are delivering information for the deep state of our government and the globalists. Politico put out a piece saying, no, that elections can be hacked, machines can be hacked. Mm-hmm. Expect problems with the 2022 election, because this time they are in trouble. But when it's the other side, it's impossible.
Yep.
CISA goes on to say in this document, CISA also wants to ensure it sets up to extract lessons learned from 2022 and apply them to the agency's work in 2024. So it goes on to say that DHS is questioning how to inspire innovators and creators to partner with the government. Okay. That's not supposed to happen ever. and being seen as, without being seen as government propaganda. So admitting that they're going to be putting out propaganda, but we need to get in touch with the creators at YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these TikTok, you know, they love TikTok, seems
yep.
to be on.
Yep.
But they need to figure out how to engage creators, not us, but mm-hmm. the opposite of us, and all those check marks on you know, Twitter that are going nuts because they have had a bullhorn and a complete control over false information, information nonetheless,
yep.
On the internet. So they, they're looking for ways to partner with innovators to put out information without it looking like propaganda, because it is propaganda. It says, how can CISA inspire innovators to partner with the government in a way that catalyzes availability of trusted information without being seen as government propaganda? Says it in the report. And then it goes on to say that they will develop a rapid response team that would need to surge for periods of time around elections. It goes on to say that CISA and DHS will look at the spread of false and misleading information that poses a significant risk to the critical functions like elections, public health, financial services, and emergency response. So let's think, elections, that would be, mm-hmm. you know, one-party rule being disrupted in any way.
Yep.
Public health. But we also have to keep in mind, what is on the docket for the Obama-Biden regime in 2023 and 2024? We have them joining the UN, our common agenda, one world, basically, constitution, where they're basically saying that we are a globalist, we are an arm of a globalist government, and that we will be following the United Nations, our common agenda. Everyone should look it up on their website mm-hmm. and say, hell no, we are not doing that. We are the United States of America, and we are a sovereign nation governed by the people of the United States, for the people of the United States. We're happy to help the rest of the world. We are very empathetic. We've proved it time and time again, but they're not going to dictate to us what we do. We have a government here that is by the people, for the people, with a constitution and Bill of Rights, and the Biden regime is not going to violate this.
Amen.
It says public health. Well, guess what? Biden is actually hosting the World Health Organization reentry of the treaty. Coming up, that is docketed for 2023 through the Obama-Biden regime.
And this could be like public health. That could be mental illness and all of that.
And it's all going to go through the World Health Organization, which is right now almost fully financed by the CCP and Bill Gates. And now us again, because Trump pulled us out and they went right back in. Also, financial services. They're pushing the International Central Bank digital currency. That is not to be confused with Bitcoin or anything in America. That is central bank digital currency overseen by the Davos Public-Private Partnership and the BIS, IMF, World Bank, international banking cabal that runs all of our central banks, including the Fed. The central bank digital currency that they want to install, and also that would be the ESG scores, and they are proposing at COP27 this week a international global tax that, because of climate emergency, that we would be paying. Also, again, then that would go directly to the private Western Central Bank and Davos crew. Thus, if you're getting a tax from we the people to put into an international tax structure in an international central bank digital currency in a bank controlled by the World Bankers and the IMF, our banking system and privacy and our ability to do as we want with the money we earn, we hard earn, because the middle class are the ones that really pay the taxes. The upper class and these elitist oligarchs that took over our country have foundations. They know how not to. But so this is in it too. And emergency response, which would be international quarantines and digital IDs, digital passports, vaccine passports. So this covers all of that. So this size of DHS document is about fighting the spread of false and misleading information that poses a significant risk to critical functions. And it lists all five of those areas. And I am telling you, all five of those areas, if you look at the World Economic Forum or the UN's websites or any of the ones I mentioned, World Health Organization, COP27, you're going to see that they all align.
Do we have this document in the stuff that people can text in for, the 40509 mail?
And I'll send it to Colton right after this to put in there. They can all take a look at it.
Perfect.
Right, exactly.
Thank you, Mel.
So, sure. And on top of that, it says that it goes on to say that there are four specific dimensions of disinformation to counter. Now, again, everyone that's watching this, remember, propaganda was made legal again after people saw what it did in World War II and was made illegal in the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act.
Yep.
Eric Holder and Valerie Jarrett and Cass Sunstein and Norm Eisen and all these people were with Obama running the Truth mm-hmm. Ministry before it was called the Truth Ministry, but it was called the Truth Ministry in 1984. Then it became, you know, this disinformation board that got dismantled, which, hello, this is the disinformation
yes.
board.
Exactly.
It didn't get dismantled. They just went underground because they got caught and too many people said it's unconstitutional and illegal. And the American people pushed back and they needed to win 2022 to keep it going. So what did they do? They shoved it down, just like yep. all the globalist stuff that was tampered down to get past 2022. This is why the battle has just restarted. We are yep. in a new phase of the war, and that is taking back this country and dismantling this, like JFK said, this secret society, secret control mechanisms, deep state operation to usurp the United States and end our sovereignty and our freedom for good. Mm-hmm. So it says, this program through DHS and CISA, it is recommended to build a society resilient to misinformation and disinformation. Two, proactively address anticipated misinformation, disinformation threats. Three, rapidly responding to emergency or persistent informational threats. For countering actor-based threats. So if you read into this, it also says DHS would provide financial support. This is where it gets crazy and what we talk about. To non-government partners, NGOs, who counter, we've talked about many times, false and misleading narratives. So the United States will go with contractors, as we've discussed many times. This would be the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the International Center for Countering Digital Hate, all these groups that we'll get more into in a second. But it says in here, CISA, DHS, should work with and prioritize financial support to external partners who identify emergent informational threats and utilize its strength in developing and disseminating communicative products to address false and misleading narratives. CISA should also prioritize, where possible, boosting firsthand, trustworthy, and authoritative sources. Mm. We've discussed the phony fact checkers and the insult yep. to our country and our persons, that is. But what they're saying is that we, the people of the United States taxpayers, because that's where they're talking about funding, are going to now pay NGOs like these that all work for Soros and Gates and the international globalist cabal to propagandize us. That is
wow.
what this is saying. And to show, and then they're going to use the financial resources also to, like, Southern Poverty Law Center and Lead Stories and all these people, Media Matters. They go after and they silence people and they destroy lives and use lawfare. This is basically an open check to help these groups that have that truly have destroyed lives and our country and our freedom of speech and with manipulative stuff that is all controlled by the globalist cabal. This is saying that we, the taxpayers, will be paying for it. Everything in this document ties to DHS is us paying for it. We, the people. And even if 100 million of us that they call deplorables, that don't deserve a vote, don't deserve a voice, don't deserve to be on Twitter, are domestic terrorists, they want us to pay for this.
So, I mean, I just want to make sure. Taxpayers will actually pay for these NGOs to propaganda yeah. us, ourselves.
Yes. Yes, and shut us up, and kick us off the internet, and take away our livelihood, and hurt our reputations, and destroy our families and our lives and everything, because now CISA and DHS is going to be recruiting these groups. Not that they haven't already, I'll get into that in a second. It also says CISA should work with and provide financial support to external partners who identify emergent international threats and utilize its strength in developing and disseminating communicative products to address false and misleading narratives. Again, CISA and DHS have no money. CISA and DHS are using our money. That is the American taxpayers paying to, A, counter misinformation, disinformation that the CIA guy in the beginning said that they,
yep.
That's their job. It's always been Mockingbird Media, to attack the 100 million MAGA people that are the problem. And then all the honest journalists overseas that have been telling the truth about Ukraine and the central bank digital currency and the climate nonsense. So they want to shut up all of us, okay? And have us pay for it. You know, you got to keep that in mind.
Unbelievable.
It goes on to say, we need a media infrastructure that is held accountable. So they're going to pick
yes.
and choose who journalists are, by the way.
So what's that look like for us?
Yeah. Well, my degree in journalism and 20 years in media won't matter because of what I say, not because of my credentials, but some lunatic that became big on Twitter or TikTok will be considered a real journalist regardless of their background.
As long as they follow their line of thought.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's laid out in here without any question. And then it goes on to say that we need to reduce Americans' engagement with misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. So they would like to reduce American citizens' engagement with it. What? Where is this? With this?
Yeah.
Why did this is totally? It's against the entire Bill of Rights.
Yep.
That's not up to
where's the free speech.
Not the government's job.
Right.
And I have to tell you, DHS and CISA don't make laws. They don't make rules. Congress does.
Yep.
So none of this should be happening without Congress voting on this. But this is happening. And this is going into full speed between 2022 election and 2024 election. And we got to stop it and call it out. And these people are criminals. And they're stealing our money to hurt us. On top of that, he says, how do we get to push the envelope to obtain traction in this area? Who has done appropriate social media monitoring for the government? And it goes on to list a bunch of people. And then we have on this document, we have emails that are going around with all of these people from DHS and CISA and big tech. So Facebook, Twitter, Google, all involved in these conversations. Now DHS has a portal reporting disinformation and other issues on platforms directly with social media and big tech companies. They are building on our continued efforts to remove the most harmful COVID-19 misinformation, disinformation online as well. So this is also including Biden administration discussing the flagging of and removal of content questioning the COVID-19 narrative or election narratives at will from the government. And this would be in cahoots with Google, Facebook, Twitter, all of them. So on top of that, let's just get into, now I told you that in this document, it says we the people of the United States are going to be funding NGOs and groups that counter misinformation and disinformation and digital hate, you know, of course. So we're going to be funding them. So who are some of these groups, right?
Great question.
So the first groups that we should talk about are the same groups. So remember we talked about Transition Integrity Project. Then there was an Election Integrity Project, all funded by dark money on the left. So they've been around again. It's the public-private partnership, folks. It is a global group of billionaires and trillionaires funding what we the people see. And apparently our government under Joe Biden and Obama, again, think that we should be paying for this to happen to us.
Yep.
So here we go. The people that are have been involved in this leading up to the 2022 election are the Stanford Internet Observatory, which gets grants from our government, which is our money. Taxpayers, University of Washington Center for Informed Public, the Atlantic Council Digital Forensic Research Lab, which has been in cahoots with Facebook for a very long time and should be investigated. Again, a think tank of the military industrial complex, and an analytics group called Graphica. It was set up in 2020. It allowed federal agencies like CISA, DHS, and state's Global Engagement Center to file tickets requesting that online story links, social media posts be flagged, censored, and removed by big tech. Three groups involved with them, not to be surprised, are the Democratic National Committee, the NAACP, which is not for black people or against racism. It is for the globalist regime and the narrative, always has been, always will be, and a Common Cause. So they have all been involved in this. Now, what's worse here is that Biden's appointed director of CISA, Jen Easterly, made clear that she would continue to shift resources in the agency to combat the spread of dangerous forms of information on social media. One could argue we're in the business of critical infrastructure, and the most critical infrastructure is our cognitive infrastructure. That's called mind control.
Yep.
That's called Cass Sunstein nudge. That's called the tag from the World Health Organization that Sunstein ran which is behavioral modification through mind control and psychological warfare. So, and as she goes on to say, so building the resilience of to misinformation and disinformation uses the cognitive infrastructure model. She says, I think it is incredibly important. So therefore, we have the head of CISA put in there by Biden saying they're going to use online platforms in cahoots with the U.S. Intelligence Department to manipulate cognitive infrastructure of the population. They're saying it, folks, not me.
Nope.
They are. It is called mass mind control. It is MK Ultra on steroids. It has Goebbels, Hitler, and Himmler looking up from hell, thinking, my God, these people in Silicon Valley and DC and the global overlords are brilliant. This is a global oligarchy class that has is not even hiding it. And then on top of that, let's move to the next thing. So federal law enforcement agencies originally created to protect us from terrorists are now going to be protecting us from ourselves. So as we know, with everything that I'm talking about here, we have a situation where who gave them this authority?
Right.
Okay. So we have to look back to, again, the Patriot Act was written before 9/11. Yep. It was repurposed after 9/11 to be about terrorists. It's really about spying, full-on track and trace surveillance on the levels that Davos and the international cabal with the CBDC and the One World Digital ID, now the One World Currency and Taxation Plan is implementing. Also, mm-hmm. I want everyone to be very aware, there's a C40. These are cities in America that have teamed up their mayors with the Davos crew and the World Economic Forum Smart City Initiative that have already installed track and trace surveillance all over your cities.
Mm-hmm. Was New York City the first one?
Yeah, and there's 30-foot towers going up all over Manhattan. People are starting to talk about it and ask what these are about. This also includes the Internet of Things, smart meters, carbon scores on buildings, all of this stuff that they're talking, ending cars. I mean, it's all connected to track and trace surveillance, full control from the top down, how 5G and these towers are fully going to be utilized. We aren't clear. We do know that the infrastructure is there to at least have smart phones, smart meters, smart buildings, and all of it connected to one mainframe that Noah Harari says the World Economic Forum has already hacked and is controlling, and that we, the people of the United States and the world, as Harari mentioned at the World Economic Forum, anyone can see it, that COVID-19 was when the people of the United States and the world accepted digital surveillance under their skin.
Yep.
This is what they're talking about. But now we're at a place where there's new documents out there, including these, that say that the FBI in cahoots with DHS, Facebook, and Twitter are collaborating on disinformation plans to expand censorship on other topics, including the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the origins and nature of COVID, anything about the vaccines, anything about the elections, and going forward, anything that undermines trust in our financial institutions.
Man.
Yeah. So,
it's like a movie, Mel. This is like a movie.
Yeah, it's called Minority Report and Ready Player One put together.
Exactly.
You know, and it's no joke. Like we said, Hunger Games last week, folks. This is it on steroids, and they are pushing it. Also, the federal government now maintains a direct censorship request portal with Facebook and Instagram. Basically, Jen Psaki admitted to it. You see it on the screen right now. But they pretended to take down the Disinformation Governance Board. That is not what happened, folks, at all. Like we talked about it a long time ago. I told you Chertoff and other people were brought in to then look at it, and then they told us. They did a lot of stuff and a lot of lying. That Jean-Pierre should be brought up on charges for the amount of lying and disinformation and lies she's putting out, propagandizing the people. Especially the biggest lie is that they're destroying democracy by voting for Republicans, when the problem with this country is that an oligarchy has usurped both parties.
Right.
But certainly the Democrats have power right now and are using it to the hilt.
Yep.
Democracy has already been destroyed, folks, and it was destroyed a long time ago.
Yes.
We the people are now in a battle to take it back, which is why left and right, Republican and Democrat, are nothing. What matters is we the people of the United States and Team America versus the globalist bankers and international public-private partnership of the multinational corporations that are in cahoots with big tech, because they're all the same people. Okay, so the disinformation board, we were told, was dismantled. But now we know that CISA and DHS just put it under a different heading. Mm-hmm. So I will share that CISA document. Please, everyone, go over to The Intercept and check out that article. Technofog's done great information on it, and a couple other people out there, Just the News. Very important that we say, no, not in this country. Sorry, that's against the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And you have no authority, because Congress needs to pass laws, not CISA and DHS and the Obama-Biden globalist regime.
That's right.
And everything that I'm saying, I think we froze. But everything I'm saying, we froze.
It's not froze on our end. We're good, Mel, on my side.
Okay. Yep. Everything that we've been saying, though, again, I want everyone to please go to the World Economic Forum, weforum.org, and look up all of this, because it's coming from the globalist regime. It is coming from the top. It is coming from the public-private partnership of the banking cabal and the Great Resetters and the Davos crew. Everything in that memo, from everything in this report from CISA and DHS, is coming globally. Every G20 nation is being subjected to the same mind control, brainwashing, information control, destruction of journalism, calling propagandist journalists and journalists criminals. It's happening everywhere. I mean, Julian Assange is the biggest symbol, but it's happening all over the world, certainly here. You know, all because you got a check mark from the bogus, we're going to find out people are paying for them on Twitter, or we're allowed to speak on Facebook or whatever. We're going to find out real soon. Politico, Daily Beast, New York Times and Washington Post from the beginning, MSNBC. Yep. A lot of these people have been in cahoots with the CIA and the FBI, putting out this information all this time. And real journalists have been, turned into criminals, but it's all in their paperwork. Just read these. And again, go back. You guys already have the Democracy Matters, Media Matters document from 2016. It's just an extension of that. But this time they're putting it through the federal government and militarizing it, because in that document, it makes these crimes. And we got to remember that. So last week, what happens? Elon Musk starts on Twitter. Twitter, folks, nothing's changed on Twitter. And I want to say something to the Rob Reiners and Whoopi Goldbergs and Stephen Kings and all the loudmouth Chelsea Handlers and all these people out there. Kathy Griffin. Mark Ruffalo came to New York. You should have heard this guy. First of all, they live in a bubble in Hollywood. Second, they all want to jump off of Twitter because Twitter is turned into a hateful cesspool. Nothing has changed on Twitter yet.
Is such a joke. What a bunch of pansies.
No, it's not even that. They work for the cabal.
Yeah.
They get talking points. I'm going to prove it to you in a second. They work for a cabal. Why is it always the same 50 actors and athletes? They are in cahoots. They are involved. They're in this cult. They have now some of them are stupid because, because you're an actor and you can read lines and emote and go on a set and act doesn't mean that you are somehow better than or more intelligent, but they are groomed to believe this. They do not know that there is they have 10 people that surround every one of these celebrities that kowtow to them, that keep the narrative going. The big agencies are involved in the international, multinational corporations with the global public-private partnership. They all hang out with the World Economic Forum Davos crew. All the guys that run Hollywood are involved, all of them. And so all of these actors that go out there and do this, they are in an echo chamber. And whether they believe what they're saying or not, they have become very dangerous. But nothing has changed at Twitter. I was kicked off because I shared a lot of stuff about Ray Epps, and I shared video of cops letting people in on January 6th. Mm-hmm. I shared personal video people sent me of cops, basically opening doors for people. I shared stuff about Ashley Babbitt's murder. I shared a lot of that stuff. Boom, I was kicked off in January 2020 for giving counter information. And you know what? I was kicked off for spam.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm still suspended all this time later. And you know what? Like it or not, I see other people that weren't suspended that were doing the same thing. I don't know why they chose me, but I'll take it as a compliment.
No, you were in good company.
You know, at that point, I was just kind of building the show. So, you know, I had like 75,000 subs, and then I lost everything overnight. And I appealed. They won't even respond to me, but that's okay. But I have to tell you, some of the people that didn't get kicked off now have 200, 300,000, sometimes a million people following them. So it really not only hurt me, but hurt my ability to get my voice out, my business out, my work out. I do research. I have been in journalism and media for 20 years. I have a degree in journalism from one of their schools, one of the demon schools. So, you know, it really did hurt me, but to act like they're going to let on hateful disinformation agents and they're leaving Twitter because it's going to become a cesspool while they were never kicked off while lying and spreading propaganda given to them by the globalists, it's really disgusting. So what's his name goes out there, the guy pretending to be the president, this pathetic creature, he goes out there and he says, this is Biden saying this about Elon Musk. He says, Elon Musk goes out and buys an outfit that spews lies all across the world. Well, nothing's changed on Twitter. So if Biden's saying that Twitter spews lies all across the world and people like me and a lot of great people, including our president and Flynn and a lot and tons of journalists that are legitimate, got kicked off. Well, then he's saying that Twitter and all their blue check marks and all these people that are up in arms because they're going to lose their bully pulpit are spewing lies all across the world.
Exactly.
Nothing has changed yet. Do you understand how insane this is? He says there's no editors in America anymore. Well, nothing's changed on Twitter, so what are you saying?
Right.
And there are no editors in America anymore. So what's where the New York Times, the Washington Post, Politico? What are you saying? You're just admitting the truth. Then he goes on and really insults Elon Musk, who, by the way, has a lot of contracts with the government, including SpaceX satellites.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't forget that Elon Musk has been working with the U.S. government for good in a lot of ways, maybe not in good in other ways, but for good. So he's putting him down. And Elon Musk is kind of having it and saying, like, you know, this is insane that they're going to a point where he says that they're after Joe Biden said this, and then all these people on the blue check marks and the celebrities started saying that Twitter now turned into a hateful cesspool.
With nothing changed.
Nothing. He said he wasn't changing anything until after the midterms. Nothing's changed to this day. But Twitter goes on, Elon Musk, and said, Twitter has had a massive drop in revenue due to activist groups pressuring advertisers, even though nothing has changed with content moderation, and we did everything we could to appease the activists. Extremely messed up. They're trying to destroy free speech in America. Do you want to know that he hasn't even gotten rid, except for that one woman, the most arrogant woman on planet Earth, if you ever saw her on Joe Biden, the head of the woman who really shut down, got Trump kicked off and everything. I can't remember her name. I hope I never see her again. But I have to tell you that nothing has changed. But what we do need to know, as usual, we talk about a lot, who is behind what's happening on Twitter?
Yeah. Right?
So there was a document released. Of course, David Brock at Media Matters is very involved, as always.
Yep.
No, what happened was, after Elon Musk put this out, another person leaked it. First we found out that a lot of blue check marks were being sold from inside Twitter. So a lot of those blue check marks were bought. You know, so again, he wants to charge $8 so that you have to verify properly and you pay for it and you put in your credit card information and there, and you can see that this person is the real deal. Great. Because now we found out people were paying anywhere from $3,000 to $15,000 for blue check marks to become legitimate journalists, according to them, overnight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Some of us who've spent 20 years doing this weren't even given an appeal. Man. But so this happened pretty much pretty quick. So something called Accountable Tech came in and they organized a letter. And they have succeeded so far in having Pfizer, Audi, General Mills, and a lot of other people, Volkswagen, and others take down their ads from Twitter. So you know what? I think it's fine that you pay $8 a month if you want to be on Twitter and get a check mark, because you know what? The revenue should go back to, shouldn't be about being manipulated or whatever. But here we go. So they put together an open letter and it says basically far left. Again, folks, this misinformation, disinformation from the government, nothing has changed yet. So their letter says, Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter came with his promise to advertisers like you that the social networks would not transform into a free-for-all hellscape and would remain warm, welcoming to all. Then he says, we, the undersigner organizations that wrote this letter, call on you to notify Musk and publicly commit that you will cease all advertising on Twitter globally if he follows through on his plans to undermine brand safety and community standards, wow, including gutting content moderation. I told you why I was kicked off, and then they said I was putting spam out. I was putting out legitimate journalism from Revolver, from me, from Gateway Pundit, from Zero Hedge, all the groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center and Lead Stories and NewsGuard say are fraudulent that have all proven true since 2020, right? So this goes on to, it also says that, it also goes on to say that that they will all be working together to ensure that Elon Musk basically does not get away with this. And it says that all parties must agree that they need to do it in force. So who is Accountable Tech? Well, don't be surprised. We've done many shows on it. Accountable Tech is funded by the North Fund, a DC nonprofit under Arabelle Advisors.
Oh my gosh.
So Arabelle Advisors, for anyone who hasn't seen our other shows on them, is a philanthropic consulting company founded by a Clinton insider, Eric Kessler. It also, the co-founder of Accountable Tech is Jessica Lyric. She also is, she works for Accountable Tech over there. Arabelle Network shields the sources of its funding by using political expenditures through a 501c4 nonprofit. Again, 501c3s, 501c4s. We need to really look into these when we take back this country.
Yeah,
this should not be happening, that they can hide their, just like we talked about the think tanks. No, everything should be transparent in America, period, especially if you're getting money from the taxpayers or grants through our government, which is taxpayer money.
That's right.
On top of that, Arabelle Partners funded $1.7 billion into the 2020 election cycle.
How much was that, Mel?
$1.7
billion.
And they are full-on never Trumpers. They Arabelle donors include George Soros, Pierre Omidyar, and the Hansberg Wyss, the foreign national billionaire who runs the 1630 Project. All of these people were involved in the 2020 election. Okay, and then this also includes Zuckerberg Chan Foundation. Now, the open letter was sent requesting a promise, promise to advertisers. So it's an open letter from this group to the CEOs of Amazon, Anheuser-Busch, Apple, Capital One, CBS, CenturyLink, Coca-Cola, Comcast, Best Buy, Disney, Google, HBO, IBM, Merck, Pfizer, Meta, Mondelez, PepsiCo, Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Verizon, and others, telling them that Musk's first act as owner was to spread dangerous conspiracy theories about the violent attack on the husband of Speaker Nancy Pelosi. He fired several top executives, including Vijaya Gad, who is the one who kicked Donald Trump, the president of the United States, off of Twitter.
There's the name, Mel, that you don't ever want to hear again.
Head of legal policy, trust, and safety. They go on to say, within 24 hours of Musk taking ownership, remember, folks, nothing's changed. Nothing. And he kept the whole group. Yeah. So here's crazy. He says that within 24 hours of taking ownership, the platform was inundated with hate and disinformation. Nobody got reinstated.
Nothing's changed.
This whole letter is disinformation, misinformation, and propaganda. And it's threatening the multinational corporations that are involved with the Davos crew on top of it.
Wow.
So it goes on to say, not only... nothing has changed, folks. I'm sorry to keep saying this, but this makes this letter so laughable. I'm going to send it to everyone, and everyone should read it and realize
nothing's changed.
So they go on to say, and this is what all the celebrities are parroting. So they got this letter too, folks. This is the same thing that we read last week from Judicial Watch about COVID and the narrative. It says, not only are extremists celebrating Musk's takeover of Twitter, They're seeing it as an opportunity to post the most abusive, harassing, and racist language imaginable. This includes clear threats of violence against people with whom they disagree.
My government
is threatening me. But nothing's changed. Nobody got back on Twitter yet, folks. Nobody. It also goes on to say, this is a clear, without deliberate efforts by Twitter to address this type of abuse and hate, your brands will be actively supporting accelerating extremism. None of this happened. None. It goes on to say, Musk threatened to drastically reduce employee headcount. Yeah, it's a company that has too many employees, admitted by Jack himself.
Exactly.
Putting those responsible for maintaining community standards and protecting user safety first on the chopping block. That's because they are violating. This is so crazy. Musk has also publicly supported the idea of restoring the accounts of prominent individuals Twitter has suspended for inciting and glorifying political violence, spreading election and COVID-related disinformation, and abusing people based on race, ethnicity, natural origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, or disability. Well, hello, Twitter discriminated against me on all
right.
of those accounts. My account was suspended for nothing I did wrong. I put out honest information that has been proven honest since. But right here, this letter is saying that reinstating me is a problem. And that's, you know how many people got kicked off? They're saying over 2 million.
2 million people were kicked off.
By these people for misinformation, disinformation. And remember, what was the reason they said I got kicked off? Spam.
Spam.
So, and then when I tried to get back on, they said that I was trying to open a new account from an account that was suspended. So they were watching me after that. So
Wow. Again,
we have to understand that we are the threat, but these people aren't. And what this whole letter is propaganda. And it's a threat against these multinational corporations that if they don't go walk in lockstep with these groups that are funded, I'll tell you in a minute, by the globalists, that they will destroy them. Okay?
Man.
Because it goes on to say, your companies are Twitter's 20 largest U.S. advertisers, spending hundreds of millions of dollars each year. Your posture and response to Musk's plan during this moment matter for your brands. This is a threatening letter. And it's saying that everyone that got kicked off deserves to be kicked off, deserves to have their voice silenced, deserves to not have their business or their brand, deserves their reputations and their background and everything destroyed because the Twitter group that has been deciding this, that is run by globalist oligarch billionaires and trillionaires, is a problem for the narrative. It goes on to say, we, the undersigning organizations, which we'll get to in a minute, call on you to notify Musk and publicly commit that you will cease all advertising on Twitter globally if he follows through on his plan to undermine brand safety and community standards, including gutting content moderators. So if he wants to fire anyone, this is calling on the 20 biggest brands in America, all part of the multinational global public-private partnership, BlackRock ESG score following Lemmings,
yep,
that they will destroy them. It says this means that Musk, listen, this means that Musk must not be allowed to roll back the basic moderation practices Twitter already has on the books now and must commit to actually enforcing these rules. That means me, President Trump, and, you know, all of the people that many people were friends with, mm-hmm. many people who are good journalists, anyone who questioned the Ukraine war, anyone who questioned the election, anyone who questioned the COVID. Anyone who questioned the vaccine, anyone who questioned any of this, should not only never be reinstated, but if they are reinstated and the people that fire that question them, the proud TikTokers that we see from Libs of TikTok that work at Twitter, that this group of people I'm about to read to you will go to war with these corporations.
Wow.
Because we know that brand safety is the utmost of importance to you. As such, you also have a moral and civic obligation to take a stand against the degradation of one of the world's most influential communication platforms, and to hold Musk to the pledge he made to you to ensure that Twitter is a welcoming and civil place to be. I divert back for a moment to something that we said a little earlier from the supposed current president of the United States. Nothing has changed on the platform yet. All of these groups, I'm going to say in a minute, all basically funded by the Soros and Omidar and all of the same Gates and all of them that are pressuring these corporations to boycott and leave Twitter if they do anything to put good people back on Twitter that didn't deserve to be kicked off. But wait, wasn't it Joe Biden a few days ago that said Elon Musk goes and buys an outfit that spews lies all over the world?
Yep.
So which is it? So in this letter, they're saying that you have a moral and civil obligation to stand against the degradation of the world's most influential communication platform. So which is it?
Yep. Make up your mind.
Is it a platform that spews lies and propaganda and hate, like Joe Biden told us 3 days ago? Or is it the most influential place for, for standards and safety and real information? It can't be both. Can't be both. And I have to say again, nothing's changed over there. So the letters.
I love that. I think we're going to call this episode "Nothing's Changed."
Nothing's changed at Twitter.
Yeah.
I want everyone to be aware. Accountable Tech, Media Matters, of course. We've got on here the Center for American Progress, John Podesta's baby. Center for Countering Digital Hate, George Soros and Friends, Poynter Institute. Center on Race and Digital Justice, Coding Rights, Common Cause, Color of Change. Digital Africa Research Lab, Doctors in Politics, Equality Lab, Fair Vote UK, GLAAD, Global Project Against Hate and Extremism, Media Justice, NAACP, National Center for Transgender Equality, National Hispanic Media Coalition, Progress Now, Public Citizen, many other ones also, but I'm telling you the big ones that we know, mm-hmm. United with a Dream. So all of the same groups as normal are involved in this. And on top of that, just while we wrap up, I wanted to remind everyone that we had a very, very insidious campaign again go over in the last few weeks, months. And you and I talked about another group involved here that I have been warning people about. That would be a group run by a woman named Tara McGowan. And this would be Acronym and Courier Newsroom and Good Information. So Joe Biden tells us that, you know, in a speech to the whole country, that Elon Musk bought a cesspool filled with hate and lies that goes around the world, being Twitter. Nothing changes on Twitter. Then the multinational corporations, the top 20, all basically owned mainly by BlackRock, are threatened by Media Matters and Accountable Tech and all these people that if they don't basically put Elon Musk in line and keep the spewing of lies and hate that Joe Biden's talking about through Twitter the way it is, and keep off everyone that was kicked off and keep on the moderators, that they will basically revolt against the corporations, thus putting them in a position where they have to either pull the ads or they're going to have all the left-wing corporations lose their minds. So what we find out on top of this leading up to the election was Tara McGowan and her friends over there, they have been putting out lots of articles. Everyone's heard about the fate of democracy, the end of democracy. Yep. Over and over. Well, what I warned everyone about in Ohio, which is almost 8 months ago, was that Courier Newsroom was buying and creating small local newspapers in local communities all over the country that were basically Project for Good Information and included, that were basically looking like they were community papers, right? So they'd have local ads and stuff, and they were full-on propaganda for the
Democrats. Wow.
And this happened all over the country, and we have many examples of it. But basically, the Democrats are spending tens of millions of dollars, billions in some cases, to promote fake news outlets to manipulate gullible voters countrywide in local elections and state and national elections. These Democratic operatives, they are also liberal journalists, some of them with blue check marks on Twitter. They craft stories to attack Republicans in races in swing states and contested races and close races all over the country. These pieces look like non-political content. Mm-hmm. They are propaganda and they are put in for mind control, neurolinguistic programming. Voters are also receiving this propaganda in their mailboxes and on various digital platforms. The biggest named Democratic donors involved are George Soros, Reid Hoffman. They're putting money into flipping U.S. Senate houses, Congress people, local school boards, local city councils, local governments, as well as national governments, judges and others, DAs, etc. Two of the people involved in this project that's been going on for several months, David Barak, of course, of Media Matters. I don't know how they are still standing, but someone's really got to look into them when we get into the other side, because the level of betrayal that this one man, David Barak, has committed against we, the people of the United States, and individuals that he has gone out of his way to try to destroy. And from the beginning, he was the first person to go after Anita Hill. He flipped sides and it got way worse. Everyone should look at the Democracy Matters document put out in 2016 by him and Norm Eisen. Second, Tara McGowan. I don't know how this girl got here, but she is the architect. And she lamented, misinformation is an existential threat to our democracy. And she went out and she started papers all over. We got a few here. Pennsylvania Independent, Michigan Independent, Wisconsin Independent. These are her papers. They are straight up propaganda rags.
Wow.
Made you look like that you'll pick up in your supermarket on your way out. Whenever I go to my parents, I always like, I like to look at the early bird specials and like what where I can get a cheap haircut in the neighborhood. And so I pick up the local free paper and I look around, see what's going on. You would never know. These are innocuous stories that are written that don't look partisan. They are fake. This is fake news. This is misinformation, disinformation. This is what CISA and DHS is saying they're going to come after us for. And this person is one of their operatives. So anyway, Brock's American Independent Conglomerate has numerous state-level iterations. It is backed by $28 million budget, like I told you who the funders are, and they have affiliated outlets in Arizona, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And they're putting out independent physical propaganda that resemble local newspapers, sometimes even crossword puzzles in these papers, local ads. And in the Independent in Pennsylvania that they've created, this fake paper, that's all propaganda, mind control, the whole thing. They have a 953,000 person circulation in Pennsylvania alone. In Pennsylvania alone, it's called the Keystone.
Well, you said, did you say you brought this up like in February of 2022?
In Ohio.
Yeah, I thought I remember this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I warned everyone there about the local paper. So McGowan, not to be outdone, because she was acronym, which you know we've talked about before, and Arabella Partners funds her too. McGowan, not to be outdone, is Courier Newsroom. That's what I really talked about at that event, and Arabella.
Yeah,
she has fake papers. Totally fake, folks. Fake papers. Every article in there is to sway voters. This is where Mastriano is anti-Semitic or Carrie Lake doesn't like LGBTQ or any of this is coming from these papers. Okay.
Wow.
And then they're cited by people as saying, well, I read it in the paper. You get it?
Yo, yeah.
This is psychological warfare 101 on the highest scale because they're skipping. They already have the tech. They already have Twitter and the internet. This is going after my mother.
Right.
Your mother.
Exactly.
Okay. This is the Courier Newsroom has them in Arizona, Florida, Iowa, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Virginia.
Wow.
So, and these are swaying people that are not Twitter, Facebook, Instagram junkies.
Yep.
People that don't go on YouTube. So think about all these people that are getting straight up fake news and think it's their local paper. So they trust their local paper. It's not the New York Times or Washington Post or, you know, it's their local community trying to protect them, right? This is so disgusting.
Yep.
I think this is the worst because I know it's targeting independent voters and people like my mother and father and your mother and father and, you know, people that aren't connected to the internet. Who would their goal be?
Right.
So it's very sick. Her network also began unleashing a war chest on social media with a barrage of advertising across states where Courier News operates. I just read them. Courier targets Republican candidates directly, such as Ron Johnson, Dr. Oz, Tudor Dixon, Doug Mastriano, Chuck Grassley. Barak and McGowan say that they make their best efforts to instruct people, but that they are not fake news. Because they are not literally fabricating information out of whole cloth, but they describe themselves as they are actually helping people because they're fighting against deceptive information. So basically, they're saying that under the facade of journalism, they're protecting people from real journals.
Now, is the Courier is that connected to Tara McGowan as well? This
yeah,
Courier,
McGowan and Brock run these and papers Brock. All over the country.
Man.
And McGowan recently claimed that Courier isn't focused on electoral results alone. She also made her electioneering agenda clear while discussing her prototype publication, The Dogwood, in a 2019 memo leaked to interested parties, which she sent out to all of the people that we've discussed. This was called The Dogwood. The Dogwood will not only function to support the flipping of both state House and state Senate chambers in Virginia this November. This is when the Virginia thing happened. Dogwood, this is her prototype of one of these local publications that people have no idea are being handed lies and propaganda. But it will serve as a vehicle to test, learn from, and scale best practices for new sites as we grow. McGowan used the funny term moonshot. Where have we heard that? From the biodiversity executive order from Joe Biden, and also Joe Biden's speech in 2016 at the World Economic Forum when he committed to such a moonshot. She said she would see each site and each paper pair original reporting and aggregated content with our ad placement and political targeting expertise to distribute these stories to strategic segments of voters before, during, between election cycles.
Wow.
So if you just go big picture here, back to CISA and DHS, I would say that the first two people that CISA and DHS should be going to shut down for misinformation, disinformation, and harm to the electorate, we the people of the United States, would be these two.
Yep.
She goes on to say that these fake papers, local papers all over the country, that my mom and dad and your mom and dad and my aunt and uncle and all these people that aren't on the internet, and, you know, millions of people aren't, you know.
Right.
Look, think about the rural America, that this is all the papers a lot of these places have. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she goes on to say that she will drive strategic narratives to key audiences, target ads, and boost posts across Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube, Twitter, and other online properties in connection with the content that she's putting in these local papers. She also says her content and political teams would work closely with Democratic campaigns and Democratic strategists also aligned with third-party outfits, i.e. the NGOs I listed in the Twitter letter. She goes on to say that the key about her work is how much more effective boosting and targeting owned media and news content online was over pre-produced ads at influencing a voter's support for or against candidates or issues. Therefore, writing articles that are negative, that are propaganda and advertising, would deceive people on a massive scale. If donors wanted to make a wise investment in advertising, they should disguise their ads to resemble actual journalism. Let Democratic campaigns reap the rewards. It's totally the opposite of legitimate news. It's straight up propaganda.
Yep.
And if that DHS size memo is really a real thing, I would say that McGowan and Brock have a lot to answer to right now.
No
for
kidding.
For interfering with this election.
Who's funding all of these papers?
It's the same people. Arabella Partners, Amodadar, Soros, let's tell you exactly who. So what we have here is we have Acronym. Acronym is funded by Leadership and Funding. Let's see. Leadership and Funding. So Acronym has a PAC. Acronym is Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn. He's a regular. Reid Hoffman is a big one here. Michael Moritz of Sequoia. We also have financial documents. Okay, hold a minute. Let's see who else is. See, some of these groups, some are 501c3s, and mm-hmm. some of them are PACs. So they have PACronym. So it's a super PAC. We also have, Acronym is also funded by Arabella's 501c3 again, New Venture Fund. It's also Courier Newsroom, which is manages a network of left-wing websites that present themselves as local news outlets while spreading hyper-local partisan propaganda, according to centrist watchdog Even NewsGuard. Courier Newsroom spent $20,000 in digital advertising campaigns on Facebook a month, and Facebook ads and others. So we got that. Now let's see her other groups. We got Project for Good Information also involved. Funding for Project for Good Information. That would be, Vox gained access to marketing memo on McGowan's plans for Project on Good Information, which is doubling down on Courier Newsroom, intended to combat supposed misinformation promoted by national right-wing leading media.
That's what she already admitted is propaganda, telling people to change their ads.
Right, so this Good Information group, Project for Good Information, also McGowan, is also to target Fox News, Breitbart, and other local right-leaning media outlets around the country. This is funded by B Corp. Okay, so we don't know who this is. Oh, Reed, this is again Reed Hoffman and the same people. Also, now let's see what else. So Courier Newsroom is one of these two. We know about Media Matters funding. We've talked about it many times. So Courier Newsroom, check this out. Acronym has been connected to LinkedIn founder and liberal activist Reed Hoffman. Acronym's investors include Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, Michael Dubin of Dollar Shave Club, CEO of SoulCycle, Elizabeth Cutler, Carly Roney of The Knot, Giffords PAC, Next Gen Climate Action Committee, House Majority Committee, and others. So that would include that. And then the other one, Accountable Tech, is the other one involved here, which is funded by the North Fund and Arabella Advisors.
Yeah.
Also involved, this is the group that sent the letter threatening Elon Musk and the 20 biggest corporations of America. And these people have been very involved in all of that. The leader there is Nicole Gill, who is a George Soros woman. She originally worked for the Hub Project of the 1630 Project by Hans Berg Wies.
Mm.
So we are in a situation that is, they're burying themselves.
Yep.
But we can't sit silent and wait for it to happen. So we have these operatives that are infiltrating our local communities and going after people not on the internet, which would be, my elderly, people that are in mm-hmm. rural areas, people that, have two jobs, mm-hmm. and don't really get there. And anyone that isn't on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram or YouTube that can't be controlled by big tech, think that their local papers are, these local papers are real.
Right.
They're not. And that is a real problem.
It's a major problem. So
going
okay.
back to the, so that's where when we were in Manheim, Pennsylvania or Batavia, I remember meeting people and they were telling me something. I said, well, where'd you get that? And, for me, no, they don't watch this or that. Well, now I know. Now we
yep.
know.
That's right.
They're going after the local, they're going after the communities that have people that don't tend to go mm-hmm. there.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Manheim and Batavia were both rural areas.
Right. And, yep. they both have papers there.
Yeah.
From these people.
Ugh.
And this is also, don't forget, they're also writing things about General Flynn. They're writing things about the Reawaken America tour. Mm-hmm. Remember, there were people there protesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked somebody there, and it was like a church, local church. Well, and all these people saying that people are anti-Semitic, white supremacists. It's coming from these papers.
Right. Wow. Okay, so what's the assignment? I know I have down here, go to weforum.org. You're supposed to look up stuff there.
You go there to see that all of this, all of it, is mm-hmm. coming from the oligarchy, billionaire, trillionaire class that has usurped our government and our country and is controlling the O'Biden-Obama regime that everything that I'm saying here, you can find also on the World Economic Forum's website about misinformation, disinformation, and controlling the narrative. It's called The Great Narrative. He wrote a whole book about it, Schwab. So what I'm saying is that we have been usurped by the oligarchy, billionaire, trillionaire class, and they're not hiding it.
Right.
Okay. So all you have to do is say, okay, well, Mel Kay is saying all this, and I'm going to look at her website, I'm going to see all that. But on my web, you have to also make the next step of who's really funneling this information through our government to us, because it's not our government. It is the people that run our government, who are not we the people like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the Republicans dropped a 1,000-page report saying the FBI is rotten to the core, manipulated domestic violence, extremism statistics for political purposes, deliberately downplayed serious allegations of wrongdoing. They've listed a bunch of grievances against the FBI that can be proven. And this is a first step, but we got to hold the feet to the fire, the wind, the red wave, the wind, the people that are in there now that are fighting for America. Again, folks, I just want to say again, we the people of the United States versus the globalists.
Yep.
There are not, right now, there's no Republican or Democrat. There's no left or right. There is a uniparty that is fully controlled by an oligarchy and in cahoots with the technocracy and big tech, who are all members and friends of the World Economic Forum and Davos crew.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group that believes they are superior, and I just listed all of them because they all fund everything I just discussed.
Right.
So again, this thing from this document from the Republicans that is going to go after and gut and investigate the FBI. We have a bunch of whistleblowers from the FBI who are very brave and having their lives destroyed as we speak. This is saying that the FBI leadership abused law enforcement authority, that they artificially inflated, manipulated domestic violence, extremism, statistics for political purposes under the Biden regime, under diversity, equity, inclusion, anti-racism, CRT, that it's all been manipulated statistics. None of it's true, as we've known. Basically, they go through everything in there. So we have that. We have a couple other lawsuits. We have 19 attorney generals fighting the ESG track and trace social credit score. Mm-hmm. We should have a lot more people fighting against the central bank digital currency. We have a lot of people out there trying to get the word out that the transferring all of, look, we all want good climate, good, we want no pollution, great water, great air. It should be worldwide because the central bankers are hoarding all the money that can make every nation on planet Earth thrive. Mm-hmm. And live up to its potential and have unlimited food and healthy water and healthy and best healthcare. They have the money. They're hoarding it and they want to hoard it again. So this whole climate emergency that they're setting up that's about to hit, they want us to transfer all of our money through an international tax. Mm-hmm. An international tax means that there's an international banking cabal that we would be paying that tax to, which means that they would be monitoring you through the new improved Biden IRS, which would be a globalist IRS, folks. So all I'm saying is we have to hold the feet to the fire. No more. You wouldn't hire an employee and check in on them every 2 to 4 years.
Right.
You shouldn't be hiring an official in any capacity that you voted for that you shouldn't be checking in on weekly.
That's exactly right.
And watch what these people do. Because we the people have to take the power back, and we can. There's not that many of them. But you see what I'm saying. So the Sizer report, the Intercept article, go check out Technofog. He's got a great thing on it. Caitlin Johnson. Just the news, it's out there, people are talking about it, but then you have to put it together with, okay, then why aren't they doing it to their own?
That's right.
Why is it targeted against the MAGA?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Brock and McGowan are obviously the biggest purveyors to innocent people that don't know that they're being fed propaganda in this country because they're not on the internet. Are being fed it in their local supermarket.
Man, we have to wake these people up for sure. You've got to get this information out. I mean, you were saying in Pennsylvania alone, almost 1 million people are subscribed to that. In Pennsylvania alone, we've got to get this information out. Let your friends know. Let people know this is not accurate information. This is propaganda. It's so important that we use our voices and that we help people to wake up during this time.
Yeah,
it's critical.
And by what they're saying, the way that they're doing it is they're saying that it's not us. That letter, everyone should read that letter that these guys, this group of people, Media Matters, Center for American Progress, which is Podesta's group, Open Society, that this letter that they wrote to Elon Musk and Twitter is so vile and so egregious that the top, now you wonder what happened to our country, that the corporations have become so abusive. They discriminate. The 1964 Civil Rights Act has been thrown out the window for anti-racism, which is so racist. Diversity, equity, inclusion mm-hmm. is keeping good people from good jobs because of their skin color. The whole George Floyd thing, all this happened. Our corporations were all behind the COVID and the lockdowns and the discrimination and the vaccines and all of that. Well, why? Well, right. Look at the coercion and abuse. Read that Twitter letter. Jordan Shacknell, mm-hmm. I'll share his page too. He actually has it on his page. I'll share it with you guys as well.
Thank you.
You have to understand, this is a concerted effort from the top, and it is the globalist billionaire and trillionaire class manipulating all of us against each other. They don't care if you're mm-hmm. black, white, gay, straight, Muslim, Christian, Jewish. They don't care. They care about unlimited power, the end of the Constitution, the end of the Bill of Rights, and the sovereignty of the United States being ceded to a one-world globalist regime, period.
Man.
And, keep your eyes and ears open, but you know what? If you care at all about people that got the good people of the world that still aren't on the internet and yep. still live pretty decent, you know, good lives,
right?
Think about them.
That's
you know?
Exactly right.
Think about them.
So everything that Mel's talked about today, Mel, thank you so much for getting those things to us. You can. With her, it is incredible, and we need this. This is a time that we need this information. That's where we're getting our power.
And I want to say one last thing to some of these people I'm mentioning, McGowan and Brock connected. Brock's probably, he's been in it too long, but I have to say something. You know, look in the mirror, find your conscience. You are complicit in destroying America from the inside out, and you know it. You know what you're doing. And I don't know why there's not more media and more people out there that are standing up and speaking up like your motto, because we're at a place where people know that you're propagandists. They know that you're lying. They know that you're not reporting the truth, and you're putting our government, whatever is left of it. I just can't understand. You're putting our country and we the people of the United States in great danger. The people of the United States are completely deceived by you guys out there. You people that MSNBC, CNN, all of these people we've talked about, all these operatives behind the scenes, everyone controlling the narrative, all these people threatening Twitter, saying that everyone that got kicked off of Twitter doesn't belong in the conversation and that they do. Listen, somebody is orchestrating the controlled demolition from the inside out of the United States of America, and our children will not ever know a free America or a free country if you keep going. And everything that you have done can be undone by just being honest at this point. And, you know, I just can't understand. I believe that all of you phony journalists, propagandists, fake news checkers, you will be held accountable. This is sedition and it's a violation. And you knowingly and purposefully are deceiving the American people to our own demise. And you will be held accountable. I don't know where your conscience is or if you're already transhuman or you think that the billionaire, trillionaire class in Davos is taking you with them. They are not. They do not care about you. You're useful idiots. And I just, I don't know why. I don't know why they want America destroyed just so the Democratic Party, that is the globalist regime, keeps power. I don't know how Obama has this much power over these people and his friends. But the Hollywood stars, we're on to you. We're on to you. We're on to all of you. So anyway, that's my message is I don't know why you hate America so much, but if you hate it, leave and stop. Go do what you got to do, but stop making people turn against this country. It's sick.
Man, I totally agree. Share this information. Share this message. You know, who knows who it'll get in the hands of. Maybe wake some people up. Mel, thank you so much for your time today and just for all that you do to help get this information out there. We really do appreciate you.
Yeah, and we want everyone on Team America, okay? There's no left or right. There's no Republican, Democrat. There's Save America Now or regret it for the rest of your lives and our children and grandchildren's lives. That's where we are, folks. It's going to be a globalist regime takeover if we don't take this country back.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.
Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me, and it might be concerning you. I would really like everyone to take seriously the executive order 14067 and go read it for yourselves. This is about the central bank digital currency. And this would then take all of our banking systems as we know them and put them into a centralized banking system. Central bank digital currency they're talking about is programmable tokens. Programmable tokens attached to a ESG social credit governance score. The central bank digital currency is track and trace money that would be controlled by the private Western central bank, essentially taking our free will to do as we wish with our financial assets. And in turn, the government could watch everything we buy, track and trace every purchase, anything we're investing on. They can then, on that end, go after you with taxes and liens and other financial tools that can really take away your ability to live the life that you choose with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness as you see fit. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the US dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the US dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the US dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather this storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again. And this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you. God bless America. And please take care of your family first. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel Kay Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country. Because again, it's very affordable and at the same time, it's very easy to follow and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. Every single day, you have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full life out there. Please check out Mel Kay Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel Kay Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKaySuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.